gladly put up with fools. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first deadly sin, envy, and its daughters. And now it would be good to talk about one of the next deadly sins, which is pride, and what St. Thomas calls its species. Pride is an immoderate desire for excellence. It causes us to judge ourselves greater than we are, and it moves us to deny the truth because we want to think ourselves greater than we are, and we don't want to live by the truth, which is to recognize how little we are. This immoderate desire for excellence means that we desire something that is beyond what is suited to us or what is proper to us. And given this, St. Thomas says there are four species of pride. The first is a desire tending towards that which does not suit us. So, for instance, if someone strives for something that is beyond his particular virtues or capabilities or his state, it is inappropriate. It is a manifestation of pride to desire these things. This means that in the end, God chose for us to have specific spiritual and temporal goods, and to desire something beyond that is the sin of pride and is a sin against the Holy Ghost. The next is when one boasts of that which he does not have. That is, one actually thinks that he has something greater than he actually ends up having. The third species is when one thinks he does have something from oneself, when in point in fact, he received it from another. For example, when one thinks that one's accomplishments in this life are his own, rather than ascribing them to God who gives one the grace to do these things. In this respect, St. Thomas says that the person claims a merit which is not proper to him. The third species of pride is when one overestimates one's own good. For example, someone is actually better than us, but we think that we are better than them. And in this respect, St. Thomas says that this species of pride causes us to look down on others. Pride is of its very nature a mortal sin, because the proud man is not subject to God, but only to himself. That is, he thinks himself above God's law, he thinks himself above everything that God has established, and therefore, in a certain sense, he thinks himself above God, knowing better than even God himself, who has established this order. So in this respect, St. Thomas says it's a mortal sin to have pride. But he says that it can be a venial sin if a person fights it and he only gives into it partially, or if the voluntariness is not full. Or if a person has the swellings of pride, which St. Thomas says are in our appetites, our sensitive appetites, our passions, if he has this swelling but he fights it and does not give into it, then it is merely an imperfection, something which he must fight against. It is a capital vice. And it's called a capital vice because every other sin, or many other sins, come from it or stem out of it. In fact, every sin begins with pride, because every sin has at its root a thinking that one is above God's law and does not have to be subject to it, and that it is okay for us as individuals to not be subject to God's law and to violate it. Therefore, every sin and every vice is a daughter of the vice of pride. The only way to overcome pride is by working on the virtue of humility. And that means that one has to be open to being humiliated. Every saint will tell you, and no saint has attained perfection without accepting and embracing humiliation. Because in the humiliation, our judgment about ourselves is reduced to what it is in fact in congruity with reality. And therefore, we have a few things that we can do to obtain humility. The first is we can say the Litany of Humility, which it was composed by Cardinal Mary Duval, who is up for canonization, which is often found in the back of the Pietà books. If you say that regularly, God will oblige. If you ask for humility, God is very happy to oblige you, and you will find humiliations at every corner. But in point in fact, usually what this is a sign of is not so much that there's new humiliations, but that now you're becoming more sensitive. God gives you a grace to become more sensitive to your overestimation of yourself, that is, to your pride. Another thing is to read the book Humility of Heart by Bergamo, Both Mary Duval and Bergamo are up for canonization. The third thing we can do is make resolution daily and throughout the course of the day to accept the humiliations when they come our way. And perhaps this is a good Lenten resolution, since Lent is coming up, that if you want to do a profound mortification, perhaps the thing that you should do is always to accept every humiliation at every turn. It doesn't mean that you allow yourself to be walked on, but it does allow you that you do allow yourself to always accept every humiliation. The last one is that every one of us must fight this thing. That is, one must always fight the pride, one must always seek humility. Because if we do not, we simply cannot save our souls. The only people in heaven are the humble, and the only people in hell are the proud. You have to make your choice. The only means to getting into heaven is ultimately humiliation. If you don't do it in this life, you'll do it when you stand before God at your final judgment. So the moral of the story is, if you have the humility when you stand before the final judgment, it won't be a humiliation because you just recognize, yes, that's true. And it won't hurt you because you already knew that this is what you are like. Therefore, you must choose between the two. And that means, in the end, choosing between heaven and hell. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.